Testament in the book of Psalms at Psalm number 98. In the book of Psalms at Psalm number 98. And we read from the first verse of the psalm. Now, this psalm is an exhortation, an encouragement to all nations, all peoples, to praise God. And the message of the psalm is that God reigns, God rules, God saves, and God finalizes everything. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity, or with justice. This is the word of the Lord. We praise and we bless his holy name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and fear him, all ye who dwell on the earth. Well, this morning, in the New Testament scriptures, from the sixth chapter of Paul's letter to Ephesians. The letter of Paul to Ephesians, chapter 6, and at the 10th verse. Chapter 6, Ephesians, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, courageously, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. The Lord again bless the reading of his word, and to him we ascribe the glory and the praise. I want to speak to you this morning, or preach the word of God to you, is the better expression, from Ephesians chapter 6 and from verse number 21, where Paul says here to the Christians in Ephesus, "But that ye also may know my affairs," he was in prison, "and how I am doing," his health, his strength, his morale. He makes this reference, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. So there in verses 21 and 22 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul refers to a man who was of great importance in the church at Ephesus in those days and in that generation, Tychicus, mentioned by the Apostle Paul as a faithful minister in the Lord. And you notice here that we have the description of what a faithful minister is. First of all, Paul tells us that a true minister of the gospel is a beloved brother. Now, unfortunately, there are many professional clergymen about today, and have been about for a long time. They're in the Roman Catholic Church, and unfortunately they're in our Protestant churches, and they are not brothers in the Lord. They may be in it for various reasons, but they are not brothers in the Lord. For in the early church there were those false teachers who would have led the Galatians back into Judaism. False teachers, on the other hand, who would have led the Christian churches into Gnosticism, the Greek forms of mystery religions, into mysticism, into the mists that lie beyond mysticism, the mists that shroud round the very gates of hell, and the fires of the pit from which they emerge. And those young churches were in grave danger from Jewish ritualism and from Eastern mysticism and from Greek philosophy, Greek humanist philosophy. The church at Ephesus, as at Corinth, for all their faults and failings, and that we include the church at Philippi, were little seas of purity in the midst of a great ocean of hellish corruption. And in those days, the gospel was in great danger. And that is why the Apostle Paul wrote those words which we have read this morning, which we read often, and which we must never stop reading, and which we must never stop heeding. Those words which begin at chapter 10, finally, "My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Why? Because the forces of darkness, which were at work in Paul's generation, are at work today. Look at the history of the world. Get a firm grasp of history. And you will see that history itself records a cosmic conflict. The conflict between good and evil, between light and darkness, between love and hatred, between law and lawlessness. That conflict has been there, not only from the beginning of time, but before the beginning of time. It has been there out into regions which go beyond our human ability to comprehend and measure. Because the Apostle Paul is saying to us here, there are these enemies beyond this world causing this conflict throughout the generations. And of course, because of the fall of man into sin in the Garden of Eden, there now has taken place this entry of sin into human life. So that between each of us and God, there is a great gulf fixed, unless we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and reconciled to God thereby. And that's the only way. In the human heart, all of us, there is this enemy on the inside. This personal evil with which you and I have to grapple every day of our lives, have to keep under control and have to subdue the enemy within. And there is also the enemy around. We are wrestling, said Paul to the church at Ephesus, and I feel Paul is standing beside me here today. We are wrestling not against mere flesh and blood, but we are in conflict. We wrestle with principalities, powers against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What we are doing, friends, Paul is saying in a nutshell, we are in conflict with the forces of darkness. And in my lifetime, I have never known such a feeling and such an awareness concerning the presence of the forces of darkness. I walk along the Craigor Road. It could be the Shankill Road. It could be the Newton Arch Road. The presence today of a clerical collar causes young people nearly to spit in your face. Because within our own community, there is this hatred of that which is good and that which is unright. The greatest enemy we face today is not Irish nationalism, and I'm not minimizing that. And it's not the darkness and superstition of Roman Catholicism, and I'm not minimizing that, and I never will. And it's not the INLA. It's not the PIRA. It is the sheer uncontrolled evil and darkness. I sat recently on a bus coming up the Craigor Road from town, and there were girls in the bus dressed very well, well set up, of good appearance, and their language would have shamed the worst language I would have heard from men in a state of drunkenness. That's within our own community, friends. Within our own churches, there is the liberal and social gospel. There is so-called modernism, the rejection of the total authority of the Word of God. And therefore the lack of conviction. And even within so-called evangelicalism, the abject weakness, which is seen in the inability to preach strong, sound, well-grounded, well-shaped, well-moulded, well-set forth, well-thought-out, well-presented, good, sound gospel preaching, and good, sound Protestant doctrine. Where do you hear it today? Now Paul says, concerning this man Tychicus, he is first of all a beloved brother in the Lord. Now that's the type of minister we need in all of our churches today. And that's the type of people we have to be towards one another. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, and friends, the days in which we live give us no time nor opportunity for lesser considerations. We either support one another in our congregational Reformed and Protestant faith, and everything for which our faith and heritage stands, even on the wider scale of Protestantism. And we either do it in this congregation, even to survive as a congregation. We either do it, or we go under. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, He is everything. And as this world, this entire universe, says Paul in Colossians chapter 1. As this entire universe only holds together because of Christ, even physically, so we can only hold together in these evil days when we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, supporting one another in the things that matter. Let lesser issues be set aside. We haven't time for little whims and fancies on a personal scale. Those must go. A second point here. He has to be a faithful minister in the Lord. Now the word faithful there is not so much the idea of the personal faith that I place in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit for my salvation. But here is a beloved brother in the Lord who is loyal to the Lord. But elsewhere, perhaps Armagh. But I'm making known to you all things this morning because I trust that I am a beloved minister, beloved brother. I trust that I am a loyal minister. And what took place yesterday was a step back from butchery of our people. Now please understand that. It was a decision that had to be taken not by the Grand Lodge of Ireland, but by the Brethren of Number 10 District themselves. They took the decision on the basis of the information given, as did the others in the other areas fringing Republican territory, or what they deemed to be Republican territory. Yesterday, a bloodbath was prevented in this province, and time has been gained to see if these matters can be resolved. And the most disappointed man on the face of the earth yesterday was Gerard Rice. He was the most disappointed man. Now, there is ground to be recovered. Ground far more important even than Orange parades or Protestant processions. We have ground to recover in our own people, the enemy within. We have ground here to recover in respect of the enemy without, the forces of darkness. Roman Catholicism emerges from hell. It's the religion of Cain. It's the religion of ancient Babylon and Egypt. It's the religion even of the Gnostics and the so-called philosophers. It's the religion of the powers of darkness, the companions of superstition. Now, what we are caught in is this. Ever since the 16th century Protestant Reformation, through the Council of Trent, the Roman Catholic Church, by various strategies, is endeavouring to reverse the Protestant Reformation. Now, it takes the shape and form as we know it in Northern Ireland. It takes other shapes and forms in other nations where the situations are different. In England, they are trying to erode the royal family. They're a family or a disgrace, I know that. But the principle behind the royal family and the constitution is right. And I don't lose sight of that. Now, if they can erode that so that the Prince of Wales enters the Roman Catholic Church, the Duchess of Kent, if they can erode into the royal family, remember the Queen visited the Pope veiled in black when she was Princess Elizabeth. Remember that several Archbishops of Canterbury, the first was Fisher, has visited the Pope and bowed the knee. Now that's the erosion there through the Anglo-Catholic movement within the Church of England. And then the other strategy has been the World Council of Churches, the ecumenical movement in the Anglican and in the non-conformist churches, to erode the strength of Protestantism inside the churches. Who knows? But what many ecumenical ministers today and in the past have been Jesuits in disguise, preaching in our churches. There is the enemy beyond. The enemy beyond is the headquarters of hell. That is where all these strategies that hit us in the physical world and in space and time, that is where they emerge from. So if you consider this letter of Paul to the people in Ephesus, you are seeing the picture that is here today in Northern Ireland and elsewhere in the world. What have we got to do? Paul gives the answer. Put on the whole armour of God. In other words, you can't be half-hearted in this struggle. You've got either to fight or lie down. I'm not talking about lifting stones and running out onto the street. It's much more subtle than that. Why must you put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? And Paul is right. He goes right back to source. Have you ever seen the wiles of the devil in human form? I have. Every time you hear a Roman Catholic priest on the media, have a look at their face. Measure not so much what they do say as what they don't say. Because, says Paul, we are wrestling not against mere flesh and blood, but against all these principalities, these powers, and these rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He's not talking about heaven, he's talking about hell. Wherefore, take unto you, he repeats it, the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And if the day is not evil at the present time, I don't know what is. And having done everything, stand, dig in your heels. Gird yourself with truth and righteousness and the gospel of peace and the shield of faith, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our only hope. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, not doing it fits and starts. You know, in this congregation, we have fits and start prayers. Not the prayers themselves, the prayers. I have found over the years that if I issue a strong challenge about prayer and come across heavily with the fist on the pulpit, that Sunday evening I guarantee I'll get a few in who are not always there on Sunday at 6:15. I'll get in a few on a Tuesday evening that would not be regularly there. But when the effect of the pulpit thumping dies down, it goes back to the steady regulars. Perseverance is what they lack. Well, says Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, you've got to pray. That I, even here's the great apostle, saying that I need the prayers of God's people behind me. May grace, mercy, and peace from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and forevermore. Amen.
We are sorry to advise that due to technical reasons, part of the message you have heard was missed. However, we still felt it worthy of circulation. The cassette is concluded with the evening service from the Congregational Reformed Church in Belfast, the preacher again being the Reverend W.J. Malcolmson. His message concerns the prophet Habakkuk and revival.
Will bless the earth of Zion. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Let us truth be known unto all generations. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Our Father in heaven, realizing the dangers amid which we live in this city and province at this moment, and realizing the power of the living God to deliver his people, and coming into thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and him only, we ask thee to hear our prayers this evening, to receive the worship of our loving and adoring hearts, to grant us the spirit of supplication and prayer, and to deliver us, O Lord, from all of those great and imminent dangers by which we are now surrounded. Lord, give us not up as a prey to our enemies, but continue to protect thy true religion against the designs of those who seek to overthrow it, so that all the world may know that thou art our Saviour and mighty Deliverer, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing together in the praise of God from Psalm number 40, singing verses 1 to 5. Psalm number 40, singing verses 1 to 5. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. We sing to the tune Lloyd, which is a tune to the hymn How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Let us stand together and praise God.
I wait for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did my voice and cry to hear. He took me from a fearful pit, and from the miry clay, and on a rock he set my feet, establishing my new song in my heart.
We read the Word of God from the Old Testament Scriptures in the book of the prophet Habakkuk. And in the third chapter of the prophecy. The book of the prophet Habakkuk, and at the third chapter and the first verse. Now the name Habakkuk means one who embraces. And here is a prophet who embraced the living God in his devotion to Jehovah. It's an interesting way of looking at this book, just by way of introduction. Chapter 1 can be described as faith tried. Chapter 2 can be described as faith thrives. And chapter 3 as faith triumphs. Now we're reading chapter 3, the triumph of faith. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covereth the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations. The everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at thy voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord will perfect, the Lord will bring to perfection that which concerneth me. Let us pray. Our loving and eternal Father in heaven, despite our sins and our failures, we know that Thou wilt forgive, that Thou wilt pardon, that Thou wilt cleanse us from all sin and all iniquity. And we come to ask for remission of all our sins this night in the name of Christ our Saviour, who died that we might be forgiven, who died to make us good and righteous, who died to open wide the gates of heaven that we might go in. O Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the cleansing of our hearts and minds by the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, by Thy word of living truth, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we come before Thee in humble penitence this evening, knowing that we are not the people we ought to be, realizing how far we fall short of Thy glory, how we come short of the standard set in the Word of God, how we have sinned and transgressed Thy laws and Thy commandments, how we have failed to love Thee as we ought, how we have failed to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, how we have failed to seek first the kingdom of God. Lord, we are not proud of ourselves, and we come for cleansing in the precious blood of Christ at this evening service. And Lord, this evening, we look at the putrid society in which we live, in this post-Christian era, in these days when people soak themselves in alcohol, when they live for nothing but sensual pleasure, when they seek nothing but their own good, and in doing that, apart from God, destroy themselves. We come to Thee, our Father in heaven, because our parliaments have legalized that which is unclean and unnatural. We realize that millions of unborn children have been murdered legally in our hospitals. Our people have departed from the ways of God. Most of them no longer enter the house of God. On the day of God, they desecrate it in their homes. We desecrate it as a nation in our shops. We do it in our state lotteries. We despise the Word of God as a nation. And is it any wonder that our government is inept and our security situation is unacceptable?